We now know the mechanism for this, which is very important. It's called somatic hypermutation. And what it really represents is this. When we copy the DNA in our cells when a cell is dividing, you want to have all the daughter cells have the exact same DNA genes in them. So what we found is this, is that built into the DNA copying mechanism is a repair mechanism, that every cell has the ability to repair random accidents that occur when copying the DNA. So the presence of a random mutation is a very less likely event to occur because the cells are already prepared to correct any copying errors that may have occurred. So randomness probably is not a major contributor to evolution. However, they found that that one specific mechanism that Cairns pointed out involved a copying enzyme. This copying enzyme copies the DNA. And this is a very strange copying enzyme because it actually doesn't make normal copies. It's a very sloppy copy machine. And the result is when a cell needs to change the DNA because stresses are resulting that the cell can't override and decides which genes are associated with the stress. If I copied that gene using the conventional copying mechanism, I'd get more copies of the same defective gene. So instead, in a stressful situation, the cells engage a special copying mechanism that actually causes mutations. So it actually induces what is called somatic hypermutation, meaning if I'm going to copy the gene, if I copy it exactly the same way, then all the progeny are going to have the same problem. But if I copy it with this special mechanism, then all the progeny get variations. And ultimately, one of the variations should prove to be more successful than the original gene. So the relevance about all this is that Cairns' work revealed that organisms can adapt to changes in the environment that cause stress by rewriting the genetic code. And once that happens, and all of a sudden it says, then evolution wasn't really driven by accidents of mutation. It was driven by intentions of a system trying to accommodate the environment. Well, that takes us, of course, right back to the nature of Lamarck. Because Lamarck said organisms and the environment have a lockstep interaction. As environments change, organisms change to accommodate that. Now we understand the mechanism of it. Well, the relevance of that then says, wait, the belief that we got here by random chance and accidents and a purposeless evolution are now completely thrown out the window. Because it emphasizes the fact that the expression of these genes, be it the hypersomatic mutation mechanism that Cairns identified, or the new understanding of epigenetics, where the environment also influences the readout of the genes, both of these new insights say that organisms adapt for a purposeful reason. And the reason that they're beginning to recognize, as Lenten pointed out, is to create harmony in an environment. So it now turns out that organisms can adjust their genetics to accommodate changes in the environment. We use this in an industrial sense, for example. In a recent effort to fight oil spills, they said, well, what if we could engineer bacteria to eat oil? Then they could digest all the oil spills and clean up the ocean. So how did they engineer this? Well, the answer is very simple. They threw a bunch of bacteria into oil spills. After a while, most of the bacteria died. But using the adaptive mutation mechanism that Cairns described, ultimately a number of bacteria changed their genetics to accommodate the ability to eat the oil, and therefore we engineered bacteria to change an environment. But this happens all the time that humans get inoculations. So when we get inoculations for certain diseases, we're actually engineering genes, meaning this. When we put, let's say, a measles vaccine into our body, our immune system doesn't necessarily have a genetic program to deal with the measles virus. But once it's introduced in the environment, the immune system's function is to read these environmental changes, adjust its genetics to create an antibody that will match that environmental signal. So when we get inoculated for certain diseases, we're actually genetically engineering our immune cells by changing the environment and allowing these cells to change their genetics to accommodate these changes in the environment. We're directing an evolution by changing the genetics, by changing the environment in specific ways. So all of a sudden we start to say, well, wait, evolution is really the result of environment shaping the organisms to fit. So if we can understand the structure of an environment, then we can predict the course of an evolution. And therefore, we have to understand the nature of the structure of the environment.